Good morning, everyone. So glad you could join us for Morning Magical. So going beyond the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, which we call the Lord's Prayer, this is Jesus's high. It's called the High Priestly Prayer, John 17. Jesus spoke these things, and raising his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all mankind, so that to all whom you have given him, he may give aeonian life. And this is aeonian life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth by accomplishing the work which you have given me to do. And now you, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world existed." I think that is a great way to end life, when we say, as Jesus and Paul learned from Jesus, of course, to say at the end, "I glorified you on the earth by accomplishing the work which you have given me to do. And now you, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world existed. I have revealed your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have followed your word. Now they have come to know that everything which you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you have given me, because they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer going to be in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name." This is the high priestly prayer. I love this. "Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. Keep them in your name, Yah. The name which you have given to me, Yahweh. Jesus save, so that they may be one just as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished except the son of destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled." And this is for the disciples in the world. Verse 13, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." Wherever you are today, whatever you're going through today, this is what Jesus prayed to the Father. "I'm coming to you. And these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." So Father, I ask you, I thank you for anointing us to access Jesus' joy made full in each of ourselves. He had that joy. He walked that joy no matter what was happening, because he had your view, heaven's view. "I've given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world." Isn't this cool to know that before Yeshua left, he had us all taken care of before the Father? And then he went to sit at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us, for God's best plan for our lives. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. I'm not asking on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word." That's us today. "That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I think it's really cool that Jesus there in verse 20 was praying with his disciples. He was praying to the Father for his disciples. And it wasn't very long before Paul was the one he prayed for too. That Paul walked into that not many days after all this, that Paul got to walk into that. Was he seeing Paul then? I'm not asking on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. That is a huge family we're a part of. So no matter how alone you may feel here, alone's a good place. Alone is never lonely. It is an incredible walk with your Creator and His Son. Being filled with the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, that's a place where everything, everybody just becomes shadows. Because then you get into the real of life rather than the things you can see aren't real, the things you can't see are. The unseen hand of Almighty God moving in and through your life. Now that is real. And this is for the disciples' future glory in verse 22. The glory which you have given me, I also have given to them, so that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and you love them, just as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Isn't that so cool that at the dais of Christ, he's praying in the dais of Christ for us right there. I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. I think it's so cool. The first time God took me to heaven, actually, Jesus was my tour guide, so took me to heaven, and it was so bright. The closer you got to the front, it was so bright you couldn't even see who was up there. You knew it was God, of course. But it's like, because I wasn't allowed to stay, I was just on a field trip, I just stood like at the back door and just watched all that. It's like the closer my perception of it was, the closer you got to God, the closer you got to his presence, to seek his face, the closer you got on this earth, you could stand to be closer. You could be closer to him there. You know how God told Moses, tell them if they even touch this mountain, they'll be killed. And when he came down, the glory of God was so bright, they had to cover him. There's just a place of walking with God. And I think that's going to be the height of when we get there, when we're finished with our journey, whatever we paid the price to walk before him on this earth will be granted, will be the access we're granted there. Like the closer you get, he's like a magnet. He'll draw you closer to him up there. So those that kind of kept him outside because they were full of other stuff or other, I don't know, this is just my perception. Seems though, this is how it is. It's like whatever, well, the scripture's real clear. It's like what you stored up is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Don't think you're bringing any of that wood, hay, and stubble up here. Who you were, what people thought, it's all filthy rags. So what? God is holy. And the streets are paved with gold. You think he cares about... Anyway, heaven's view is so different. But I think if we understood what heaven's economy and heaven's view really is, it would change the way we live our lives. It would keep us in that place of hungering and thirsting after righteousness for his name's sake. To run hard after God, not run like a striving thing, but he's all I want. And what can fit in with that? What would he make happen for you if you truly seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added? Instead of striving and driving and pushing and shoving, running after your own stuff you want and never getting there is like this guy's version. I don't know if you've read it, The Return from Tomorrow. This guy who died and went to hell and then to heaven. And he said hell was, and this was a very interesting concept because this is the hell on earth. It was, what he saw was like the mother who committed suicide kept trying to tell her children, I'm so sorry, but they couldn't hear her. Or the guy who was into sex stuff couldn't do anything. It was like impotent. And the guy who was an alcoholic couldn't get the liquor to his mouth. And that's what's here. It's like, there's nothing, if you're run by adversarial influences, running after people, places, things, addictions, whatever, you can never do enough to make whatever your devil is happy. It's like I told Patrick, the 18-year-old that I picked up hitchhiking on the freeways in California, when he asked me, so Barbara, have you ever smoked? I said, no, my parents smoked. I smelled like hell everywhere I went. He said, so have you ever drank? I said, no, I thought it was stupid to pay money to make yourself sick. He said, so have you ever done drugs? I was like, no, my parents were both Marines. I would have died at the hands of Helen and Herschel before heroin, anything came down our drive. That's the protection I had on this earth. But what I learned from like Patrick, who was in drug rehab, he had just seen his uncle die from a heroin overdose. One of his family members was in ICU, didn't know if he was going to live or die. And now Patrick at 18 is in drug rehab. It's like what I shared with him and I share with you today, whatever that other thing you're running after, you can never do enough to make the devil happy, whatever the demon is. You know, it's like my parents, they never showed they smoked for 50 years. Those ads, I haven't had a TV in over 30 years, so I don't know what the commercials are. But the last time I saw one 30 years ago was like a cigarette ad. And they didn't show anybody dying like my parents did, hooked up to a ventilator or a breathing machine. They don't show what the payday is. The guys who are into running after other women or whatever and lose their family, they don't show the end of that. They don't show the end of where those lives, where those paths lead. So what I realized is you can never do enough to make that thing happy. It'll never let you go free easy, and it'll never tell you what payday is. My parents got hooked on cigarettes during World War II because they didn't know there was a problem, so they gave them to them in the Marines. But nobody ever told them what the payday of that would be, that they'd never go free from that. So whatever that thing is you're running after, whatever it is, an addiction, a lust, a praise, respect of people, fear of man, whatever that thing is, I'm telling you, if you took your last breath today, it would count for nothing. But when you meet him face to face, you'll be naked before him because everything you ran after will be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. It doesn't make it through. Only those things which God has led us to do or we do for him, that's all that's going to last. So what would he do at 73 now? What is the best use of my years, of my breaths? That's my prayer before God. Father, whatever you can do, and whatever he could do with my life, that will be his greatest humor, I think. He uses the foolish things to confound the wisdom of the wise. So, but whatever my prayer before him is, Father, get the best use you can out of every breath I have. Make today matter is my byline on my emails. So what would it be for you? What if we were each led by the Holy Spirit with everything we do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That's what I pray for you today. So I'm going to continue with verse 22. The glory which you have given me, I also have given to them, so that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and you love them just as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. We can see his glory now. It's a place. I truly believe God's getting ready to manifest his glory upon this earth. I prayed for years, God, give us one more chance. I hadn't even started yet, Father. Give us one more chance. Let your glory fall. For an outpouring of your Holy Spirit that won't be squandered or aborted by the gold, the glitz, the glory of the girls, but will remain pure and holy before the Son of Man returns to prepare for his return. In verse 25, righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. God, we just receive that prayer. We just receive Jesus' high priestly prayer. He did it all. He prayed us all through. And then, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went away with his disciples across the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden which he entered with his disciples. And then he went to the end of his life. But he prayed us through first. He prayed us through. He covered us. He covered us with that prayer. You want to know what your covering is? You covered girl, you covered guy. It's the high priestly prayer in John 17. And I pray that you seek, that you choose a quiet time to be with the Lord and pray that all through and receive that covering that still stands. That's our covering. That's the prayer he encapsulated us in. That's the Holy Spirit bubble that he encapsulated us in. Those of us who would come 2,000 years later, we're in that prayer. We live and move and have our being within that prayer. And just to make it complete, he's seated at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for us. That prayer still stands. That prayer is still making disciples. Father, I thank you. Thank you for all you've prepared for those who love you, that you've set us apart for your good use and purpose. Holy God, let your glory fall. Let your glory fall, mighty God. And I just call down fire from the throne of the living God to just burn up everything in my life. Person, place, thing, way, whatever that is not your highest and best for my life today. Because as when you called Oswald Chambers, you said, I call on you for extreme service with no complaining on your part and no explanation on mine. And others may, you cannot. I don't want any choices, Father. I don't want any choices that would keep me from attaining your highest and best in my life. And that's what I pray for those that I know, love, and serve today. In Yeshua's holy name, seal it this day, I pray. Amen and amen.